Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
A Subtle Strangeness at Home by Christian B. Most of what I'm about to tell you took place in and around my dad's house. When I was young, my parents divorced. My mom moved to the other side of town, while my dad stayed in the house. As part of the arrangement, I spent equal time between them. They lived only about 10 minutes apart. Strange things happened at both houses, but by far the greater of the two was at my dad's place. The house sat in one of the oldest, most secluded neighborhoods in town. It dated back to the late 1600s. Around the area were all kinds of strange stories. An underwater village lost to a reservoir. A dirt path blocked by a twisted gate leading to crushed cars. And the burned remains of a building people claimed was an orphanage. Even a still active church and graveyard from the 1800s that some said was used by Satanists. And one night, while driving with my dad, I swear I saw a UFO. But those are stories for another time. The house itself was 1.5 stories. The main living area was on one floor, but built on a hill, with stairs down to a one-car garage and a small basement. From the front door, you stepped into the dining area. To the left, a living room with a wraparound deck over the garage, a kitchen, and a small patio room at the far end. To the right, a sitting room. And straight ahead, there was the basement door and a hallway to the master bedroom and my room. My brother and sister's rooms, plus the main bathroom, were all on the other side of the hall. The first thing I remember happened when I was about 5 or 6. I was playing with my brother on the deck, which overlooked the driveway, a lower yard, and the woods. My dad was inside prepping dinner. My brother went in, leaving me alone as the sun was setting. I suddenly couldn't move. It was like time froze. I stared into the woods, anxious but not quite afraid. When a voice I didn't recognize simply said, "Be nice to your brother." Then it was like somebody pressed the play button. Everything went back to normal. I never forgot it. Years later in middle school, I was home alone working on a Lego stop-motion project in the living room. It was a bright and sunny day. Out of nowhere, I heard the basement door open and slam shut. Hard. That door wasn't loose, and we had no drafts. I freaked out, ran outside barefoot, and waited in the driveway until my family got home. When I went back in, my project was still open on the computer, but completely erased, which would have taken several deliberate steps. High school came. I converted the unused attic into a Lego display space. Not long after, I started hearing footsteps and thuds above my room at night. The strange part, my room was part of an addition. It wasn't connected to the attic. In college, I moved back home for a bit to help my dad as his health declined. My siblings had left for school, so it was just the two of us. I'm a night owl, and my room faced the backyard. That summer, I started catching glimpses of something white, almost opaque, running past my window, always at night. My friends joked about it being an alien. One night, while walking my dog, I saw it again, darting across the road from the direction of her house and into the woods. My dog noticed, but didn't bark. I realized it was more or less in line with the back of my bedroom. The breathing started after that. At night, lying in bed, I'd hear what sounded like my dad snoring through the wall, except it was heavier, irregular, and louder. One night, I got up to check on him. The second I stepped into the hall, it stopped. In his room, he was fast asleep, breathing lightly. I went back to my room, and there it was again. Then came the dream. I was in bed, hearing the breathing, so I got up and walked out into the hall. My dad's bedside light was on. He was under the covers, eyes tracking me, but frozen. When I asked if he was all right, he whispered something I couldn't make out. His eyes widened in terror, staring past me toward the far ceiling corner. I turned around. A mass of purplish black hair and thick smoke was slowly expanding toward us. That's when I woke up. A year later, my dad passed away in his sleep. When I saw him, he was on his left side, eyes open, staring up toward the same ceiling corner. Today, I rent the house out. No one has mentioned anything strange, except for one tenant whose friend claimed there was an evil entity in an old tapestry. I'm not sure how that's connected. I still wonder if all these events were related, and if I move back one day, will they start again? I guess only time will tell.
Strange Experiences Yesterday During a Nap by Accomplished LSO Pod 9. Yesterday, I had a bit of a strange experience. I'm not too sure of what to think about it. A bit of backstory, the strange things began to occur mid-2023. It started out as lucid dreams, dream looping, and then it moved into OBEs, or out-of-body experiences. I was never purposely trying to have an OBE, but it would happen every month, like clockwork. That happened for about 15 months in a row until it finally ended. Now, I've seen so many different beings in these OBEs, like the typical gray aliens or the short black-robed beings. The last time it happened, it was almost a year ago. I was in this in-between state of being awake and asleep, and I heard static, like a radio. I heard people talking, but I don't remember what they were saying. I rolled out of my body, and then I was dragged across the room and into the bathroom. As I was on the floor looking up, there was this short, brown-robed being that looked down at me and told me in this deep male voice, "We are done with you. You will not have any more experiences." I asked why, and they said, "It will ruin your time here." I was angry with that answer, so much so that I pulled myself up and dragged that being down to me. There was this feeling of them being shocked, and they said that I was awake or aware. Both words came through. Then I was thrown back into my body. I was not happy. It's been radio silence since then, yet I continued researching and just learning more about other people's experiences. I also continued to meditate, but it has never really been the same since then. Recently, there have been times where I would meditate and I would reach this state of being pulled upward. I don't know if that's the right word to use, but it would feel so overpowering, and I tried to lean into it, but my heart would just start racing, and I would get scared. I felt like if I let go, my physical body would just die. Getting to that point has gotten easier as time has gone on, but I always pull myself back. Sometimes I can reach it multiple times in one sitting. I even timed myself at one point. It would take me about 1 minute to reach that state. I just never allowed myself to fully be in it. Yesterday, I decided to take a nap, and the same thing happened, but while I was asleep. This time, it was like I was talking myself through it, and I finally allowed myself to lean into it fully. Then I pulled myself out, then back in, then out, then back in again. This happened over and over, like dipping my toes into the water or acclimating my body to cold water. During one part of this, I remember looking down to see if I had a body, and there wasn't anything there. This wasn't a typical OBE, where I was still navigating the physical realm, or something that mirrored the physical realm. What I saw is hard to describe with words, because I don't think there are any words to describe it. The best I can say is it's like TV static. But it wasn't black and white. It was colorful. Similar to the last experience almost a year ago, I heard a bunch of people talking. I heard different songs playing, and I heard sirens. Again, I pulled myself out, then went back in, and this time, I had the goal of releasing my sorrow into this, whatever it was. I didn't know why I did that, but I know recently I have been feeling so sad just seeing everything going on in my own country and also the world. I put all of that energy into this, and I called out, "Is anyone there?" Now, I've done this in the past, and I've never had a response. I heard different male voices talking, songs playing. But in the midst of all of that, I heard a soft, gentle female voice say yes. It was so clear, I was shocked. I asked her if she could clear the noise. And then suddenly everything went silent. I asked again, "Is anyone there?" And she responded again, saying yes. I felt so much joy, so much happiness, because finally, I didn't feel alone in this. I felt heard. I had a conversation with her, but I don't remember anything that was said. I just know that it happened. I remember asking, "What is the point? What is the purpose of this?" And she did respond, but again, I can't remember what was said. I started to dream after that, a few different dreams. One was of a reporter talking about a journalist being killed. Another one was about these creatures that were being contained in this glass cube. It made me upset because they weren't able to even move. Then it ended with me looking through this bedroom and finding a folder that had different sections. One section said, "If you're feeling lost, read this." I immediately opened it, and it was a letter to myself, talking about how I have gone through this side before, and that my memories were erased. I don't know anyone that I can talk to about this in my life, so just writing this really took a weight off my chest. I'm curious what others think.
My Grandmother Came to Visit Us by Scaredy Amelie. I'm a 40-year-old woman. This happened to me last year in August. It left me with such a strong impression that it led me to seeking a whole lot of spooky stories, and that quest led me to your podcast. I had always been a bit sensitive with paranormal stuff since I was little. However, I am such a scaredy cat that I really have tried hard to suppress that side of me. I do get occasionally prickly senses, but I just completely ignore them. So back in August, I had that dream. It was so vivid, and it felt so real. I was in a department store with my beloved grandmother, who passed away 5 years ago. She and I were super close and had that special connection which first grandchild and grandparent can only possess. I miss her dearly to this day. She lived close to me most of my life, and I would often go shopping for clothes with her. In the dream, she and I were chatting away, trying on clothes and catching up with the latest gossip of my friends, just like how we used to hang out. It was such a good quality time, and I felt so happy hanging out. I then woke up, feeling so warm and happy that I had this amazing dream with my grandmother, doing things that we enjoyed together. A few minutes later, my 6-year-old son climbed into my bed to snuggle. Without prompting, he tells me he had a dream about his great ma, my grandmother. Apparently, in his dream, we were holding a house party, and she came to join. She and my son played in his room with his toys. Bear in mind that my son had only met her on 2 occasions, one at 6 months and another at 12 months old, when she was actively dying from cancer. I occasionally talk to my son about his great ma to keep her fond memories alive, but I had not done that for a while. I was surprised by this coincidence, so I texted my family chat with my brother and my parents. I told them about my dream and my son's dream. My younger brother then replies, saying how he also had a dream last night about our grandmother. In the dream, he and my grandmother had gone out for noodles, something they used to love doing together. Our home country has a 3-day period in August, where we believe the gate between the world of the dead, where our ancestors live, and our world opens. Given that I live overseas, I had completely forgotten about this period. My father replies in the family chat saying that actually this was the last day of the 3-day period, and this is when the spirits of our ancestors go back to the other side. It might just all be a coincidence, but given how stubborn and hot-headed my grandmother was, I can't help to think that she really tried to visit her grandchildren and great-grandchild.
Something Outside of My Belief System by Shadow Moth. Last night, I went out to Skywatch. I was listening to the Hemisync meditation track, Going Deeper. I had not consumed any THC for 2 days, and I vaped a few puffs of flower before my walk to increase my theta response. I listened to the Hemisync throughout the experience. As I approached my usual skywatching spot on the golf course, I began my meditative breathing, and I continued that for the entirety of the experience. I began scanning the sky. It was a bit warm for my liking. It was about 83 degrees. For about 20 minutes, nothing happened. I was asking to see a UFO, alternating between internal dialogue requests and actual verbal requests. Nothing happened. I then thought of the recent Matthew Brown interview and the claim that some NHI seem to be the same beings that John Dee and practitioners of the Western esoteric system refer to as angels and demons. Now, I'm a spiritual person, but I have always rejected literal interpretations of Christianity. Though I found the Matthew Brown interview very interesting, because angels are a concept that for me stretches credulity. But asking to see a UFO wasn't working. I haven't had a big experience since 2021, so I let myself think of angels. It felt silly at first, but I closed my eyes and just began to reach out with my feelings while saying to myself, "Beings of light, beings of goodness on my level or more advanced, Please converse with me now. I am listening. Then I mentally said hello as a greeting repeatedly, maintaining my meditative breathing and keeping all of my thoughts 100% positive. Nothing shocking happened. I closed my eyes and a wind began to pick up. It was extremely pleasant as I was getting quite hot. I kept thinking of the angels, and with my eyes closed and in the darkness of my mind, I began to see angel wings, vague but visible. They appeared like an art piece incorporating angel wings in fractal patterns. This was getting interesting, and my previous hello greetings through my internal dialogue had suddenly crossed with the song from The Doors titled Hello, I Love You, which amused me. But I rolled with it and used it, lightheartedly saying, Hello, I love you. Won't you tell me your name? Then I altered the next line to just repeat the first, as the next line just felt inappropriate. So I kept going on with this for a while. Hello, I love you. Won't you tell me your name? As I kept my eyes closed. I was enjoying the moment so much that I realized I didn't care if I saw a UFO. At that moment, I felt fantastic, full of joy at just being alive and getting to experience such happiness. Then I felt something. I let sounds form and come out of my mouth without thinking. Anil. Anil. I suppressed the thought before it could arise fully that the word kind of sounded like anal, and I didn't want to offend. I said, Greetings, Anil. I seek wisdom that I might grow. I wish to move beyond my limitations and become a better person. Will you help me? I looked up at the moon, almost half full. I looked at the line that divided darkness from light. I wish to cross the threshold from darkness into greater light. Please help me, I said. A thought arose gently in my internal dialogue. The outside world is the internal world. This is how the world can teach you in every moment. What exists outside of us is not arbitrary. It is the lesson. I looked at the moon, the division between light and dark. So I said aloud, I stand on the dividing line between darkness and light. I choose to move toward the light and the good. I closed my eyes again. The wind was blowing hard now. With the lingering warmth, I almost felt like I was relaxing in a jacuzzi, warm but completely comfortable, blissful. I stood in place for a while and enjoyed the moment. Then I opened my eyes and I looked up and saw something. A satellite? No, it was blue, kind of sapphire. I felt this pleasant sensation in the center of my chest, a feeling I remember from a previous UFO encounter. I said, Thank you for this experience. And I sent my gratitude through intention to the light in the sky. As it faded into the clouds, I continued, How can I progress on my path? It answered as gentle thoughts arising in my mind. The wind continued. Fake magic is real magic when you are alone. I thought about that, and my recent Taoist alchemy studies came to mind, so I decided to try swallowing the moon for the first time. I lowered myself into a relaxed Ma Bu stance, and I placed my hands in a way that triggered mentality of universal harmony for me because of my martial arts training. When I felt comfortable, I reached up and made a scooping motion and closed my hand around the moon. Closing my eyes at that point, I drew my hand back to create the illusion in my memory of taking the moon from the sky. I held my hand to my mouth and swallowed. Then I imagined the moon falling into my internal world. I visualized the moon and made it orbit my body vertically. It was challenging to make it orbit smoothly, but after I managed to do this for a few dozen times, I imagined the moon coming back to my mouth. I took it into my hand, raised it to the sky, and released it. I opened my eyes, and the moon was back in the sky. I felt that thought arise again. Fake magic is real magic when you are alone. I said thank you aloud, and I sat for about 10 minutes to process what I was feeling. What is this world? Why am I here? I asked. The world is a soul forge. Spirits are eternal. This place allows us to change. I then asked, how can I grow as a good person? Is there a path that will help me move towards the light? The voice then told me that my girlfriend is a higher level of being compared to me, and to find the moment, the center of now, live there, she is the lesson. This made sense. My girlfriend knows how to live in the moment. She is a survivor, a mother, a badass, and she's full of wisdom. I live in my head, exploring what-ifs and possibilities rather than living in the real world. I looked to the sky and saw the sapphire light passing above me again, from a different direction. I said, thank you for this experience, Anael. Go in peace. I projected my strong feeling of thanks and closed my eyes. I returned my breathing to normal. I removed my earbuds and began to walk home. Within a minute, the wind that had been blowing for an hour stopped completely. My last thought, as I walked home, was that perhaps the symbolism of angel wings wasn't meant to express that they are beings that fly, but maybe that the wings represent a powerful wind. And for me, Anael was the angel in the wind. When I got home, I searched the internet to see if there was an angel with that name. There was, and the description of that being made me very emotional. Because I don't believe in angels, because Christianity caused me great harm as a child, because angels aren't real, and that wasn't supposed to work. I haven't had an experience like this since my multiple UFO experiences in 2021. I'm completely blown away by what happened last night. It's taken my firm belief in UFOs and added another layer of mystery.
The Shadow on the Stairs by Tammy. I've gone back and forth on whether or not to share this, because I still don't know what happened. Honestly, I kind of hope it was just my imagination, but it hasn't left me. This happened last fall, maybe September. I live in a split-level home that was built in the 70s. Nothing unusual about it, just kind of outdated. The main level has a kitchen and a living room, and the bedrooms are up a half set of stairs. Downstairs is a basement that we don't really use except for laundry. I was home alone, because my husband was at work and my kid was at a sleepover. I had just finished washing dishes and was sitting on the couch, scrolling through my phone. I remember the TV was on, but muted. One of those true crime shows. It was around 9:30 at night. I don't know how to explain this, but I suddenly got the feeling like something was standing behind me. Not in the creepy horror movie way, just like you'd forgotten someone else was in the room. I actually turned and looked over my shoulder, expecting to see my husband, even though I knew he wasn't home. Of course, nobody was there. I brushed it off and went back to my phone. But maybe 5 minutes later, I heard what sounded like footsteps coming from upstairs. Our bedroom is directly above the living room, and the sound was almost like someone pacing. I muted the TV and just sat there listening. Now, I should mention, the house does creak, but this was different. It was heavy enough that I was sure someone was up there. My stomach dropped, and I remember regretting not locking the upstairs window earlier in the day. I almost went to grab a kitchen knife, but instead I crept up the stairs and flicked on the hall light. Nothing. I walked through each room, my son's room, the bathroom, and our bedroom. All were quiet. The window in our room was closed, but I couldn't remember if it had been locked. I locked it just in case. When I came back down, I sat on the couch again, and that's when I noticed the TV was unmuted. I hadn't touched the remote, and it wasn't sitting anywhere near me. The volume wasn't even what I usually kept it at. It was louder, almost too loud for that time of the night. This part is fuzzy, but I swear when I muted it again, I heard a voice. Just one word, like, hey or wait. I can't be 100% sure because it was so quick, and my ears were still adjusting from the noise of the TV, but it made me freeze. And here's the part I haven't told anyone until now. When I finally grabbed my purse to leave, I glanced at the reflection in our front window. For a split second, I thought I saw someone standing at the top of the stairs. No features, just a dark shape against the light I'd left on. When I turned, the stairs were empty. I didn't stick around long after that. I sat in my car in the driveway until my husband came home, about 40 minutes later. He laughed and said I probably just spooked myself, but when I told him about the TV volume being different, he admitted it had done that to him once before. He never mentioned it because he thought it was just a glitch. I wish I had taken a video or something, but in the moment, all I could think about was getting out of there. I keep second-guessing myself. Maybe the house really was just creaking. Maybe I hit the remote without realizing it. But the footsteps felt so bizarre. And that one word I thought I heard has stuck with me. Nothing has happened since. The house feels normal, and sometimes I wonder if it was just a one-off. Still, every time I sit on the couch at night, I find myself checking the stairs more than I used to. That's all I've got. I know it's not dramatic, but it was unsettling enough that I don't think I'll forget it anytime soon.
So we got some more comments on Spotify, eh?
Yeah, we got some good ones here. I'll start with Abstract Noun. They say, kind of similar to the second story in last week's episode, my dad passed away almost 20 years ago. He visits me in my dreams, and when he does, the same thing happens. It doesn't matter where we are or who is there. It starts off like a normal dream, and then all of a sudden, everything stops and everybody freezes. I look at him, he looks at me, and I say, you're dead, and he goes, I know. Then the dream starts again like somebody presses play on a VCR every single time. I liked this comment because I had such a vivid, lucid dream that happened just like this. In fact, I've had multiple lucid dreams like this where when I become lucid, if I'm around a crowd of people, they'll try to convince me that I'm not dreaming. That's a pretty common thing. We've talked about that.
They're trying to halt your spiritual progress. So messed up.
Exactly. That's what I think so too. I think it's parts of your brain, your psyche that are, you know, blocking your own self. But so if I, you know, am adamant about the fact that I am dreaming and I ignore what they're telling me, everybody freezes and they just stop like they're robots. As soon as I like commit to being fully lucid, they just stop and everything kind of stops in my dream. I remember a very specific one where I was at a roller rink that looked like a 70s roller rink and everybody was trying to convince me that I was dreaming. And I said, no. And when it finally clicked, they all just froze in place. And I think this is just a common thing that happens in dreams with dream characters.
Am I remembering this correctly? I think it's the Twilight Zone. It was something where like the world freezes over and that guy's like, he realizes that he's in the Air Force or something. And like, am I remembering that correctly? Was that a Twilight Zone episode? You know what I'm talking about?
The only one I can think of where it's like time freezes. Oh, you know, I don't know. There was the one where the world ended and it was that guy that just wanted to be alone and be left to read his books. He was like obsessed with reading and everybody drove him crazy. And when the world finally ended and he was left alone with all the books that he could read, his glasses break and he can't see to read. And he's just stuck alone with nothing to read. But that's like the only thing I remember even remotely similar to that. Is that the one you're thinking about?
I can't think of it. I could have sworn it was like one of the first episodes of The Twilight Zone of this guy where like time stops and there are like some mannequins around and he's like the only person alive on Earth. And then he regains his memory and he realizes that he's in the Air Force apparently. And he starts running around saying, "Hey, everybody, I'm in the Air Force." And it's like, okay, yeah, we're very proud of you, but nobody's there. Nobody's here to congratulate you, bud. I won't spoil the surprise, but yeah, that's really going to bother. I know other people are going to know exactly what I'm talking about, and it's really bothering me that I can't remember it.
Yeah. Well, they'll let us know in the comments, and we'll talk about it in next week's comment segment.
There we go.
There is one that I remember really vividly with mannequins that creeped me out. The one, I think it's like in a department store. The woman's like stuck in the department store, and all the mannequins look like her or something.
Did they start like slowly getting closer to her and like closing the distance too?
I think so. I need to rewatch it. I need to rewatch Twilight Zone. I forget how great it is until it's just on TV randomly. And I'm like, why haven't I finished all of these? This is good stuff.
I like this idea in my mind of mannequins in a department store after hours, of course. And it's like a red light, green light type of situation where you turn around and the mannequins are getting just a little bit closer, but you never see them coming towards you. But obviously, you have to have your back towards at least one at all times. So no matter where you turn, you're always going to have one following up just a little bit closer. Nobody stole that idea. I'm claiming the intellectual property on that one. go ahead. It's okay. Steal it. Thanks.
Oddly enough, that episode with the mannequins is actually called After Hours, like you said. We'll have to watch that one together sometime.
Oh, I do like After Hours a lot. That's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. The next one comes from Gilberto. Hey, Gilly here. I wanted to say thank you for reading my story. I'm glad you guys brought up deathcore, because I was going to say the growl almost sounded like a death metal growl, and I'm a death metal fan myself. Maybe it was trying to imitate the music that I listened to.
Hey.
Like, it sounded like Cannibal Corpse.
Remember, Cannibal Corpse making an appearance in Ace Ventura. That was cool.
I loved that in movies when they would have a concert scene and there was like a real band there.
Yeah.
That was always really great.
They need to do more of that. Like, they should have had Montel Williams on Power Rangers for one. Wait, Montel Jordan?
No, that's good. Montel Williams would be pretty good.
He could be like a good enforcer. Like, hey, Power Rangers, let's sit down and talk about what y'all got to do.
Yeah.
I love that.
Be their occupational therapist.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then Maury would be like, no, you guys, you are not the Power Rangers. I'm the Power Ranger. He'd be like a good like pseudo villain.
Yeah. The next one comes from Fliss. I agree that the dream stories are interesting. Well, thank you, Fliss. I have narcolepsy, and part of that condition is extremely vivid dreams pretty much every night. I can microsleep for less than a second and still dream within that second. It leaves me physically exhausted sometimes after a full night's sleep because I've had such fast-paced dreams where so much happens. That's kind of crazy. I like that. I mean, I don't like that you have narcolepsy, but I love dreams so much. It's cool that you get to have so many.
I'm sorry. I just thought of a guy I used to work with. He was like found on the side of the road. He was fine, but like he fell asleep on his bicycle because he couldn't have a driver's license because he had narcolepsy. But he was just found laying in the grass once. And then when he finally woke up, he's like, ah, not again. And like he had like really good spirits about it. Like us, like we talked about, like,
yeah,
you got to have humor about it. So that's the only reason why I don't feel bad laughing.
Yeah, I have a family member that is developing narcolepsy. It's getting worse and worse. And it kind of sucks because I'll just be sitting with them watching TV, even just talking, and I'll look over and they're asleep. It sucks, man. It's really sad.
That does really suck. And I kind of cheated. I jumped ahead and I brought up the Wikipedia page for The Twilight Zone and I found the episode and it was episode one of The Twilight Zone and that it wasn't involving, there was no like stopped time. It was just like an isolation type of thing. And I'll leave it at that, but okay. Definitely worth watching.
Okay. Yeah, I'll definitely check that out. We got one last comment here from Jube Cube, and these are all from Spotify comments. You can comment on the episodes after you listen. Our local graveyard lies along one section of the riverbed. Back in the 70s, the river flooded, which caused the graveyard to flood. Many of the bodies went for a swim down the river, and not all of them were found. So they've got rando bodies floating around in their river still because of flooding, exactly what we talked about a couple of episodes ago.
Oh, yikes. Hopefully they knew how to swim.
So I guess we should start talking about the stories here. A Subtle Strangeness at Home by Christian B. I have this here in my notes I wanted to talk about. I love this one.
It was really cool. It made me realize how much I wish I still had my Legos.
Yeah.
I feel like those might even have been more valuable than my Pokemon cards, which aren't in the greatest condition, but I miss my Lego sets. Like they were so cool and it's so overpriced for what they really are. And you can't just get some like generic brick brand. It's just not the same. Even if they are functionally the same, there's something about it just not as cool, I guess.
Yeah. I remember looking at the prices, which the original Pokemon cards are selling for like on eBay and stuff. And I was actually surprised at how low it was. I always imagined that they like by this point they would be astronomical. And sure, there are like a select few that are worth a lot of money, especially if they're in great condition, but they're nowhere near what I expected at this point, you know, 25 years later, 30 years later, whatever. And what's funny is the booster packs are what where the money really is. It's the unopened booster packs that cost way more than any of the open cards.
And that's like having like a solid brick of gold, you know, like
not
an iron bar, but you know what I mean? What are those called? How gold is?
I just call them gold bars.
Gold bars. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah. I remember the first time I saw one was in that City Slickers movie. I think it was City Slickers 2. And they found those gold bars. And man, for some reason, that just lit something up in my brain. It looked so cool. I loved it.
Oh, yeah. And Red Dead Redemption 2, getting those gold bars, that was phenomenal. There was a really cool bug or a glitch where you can get unlimited money. And that was quite a time to be alive.
Quite a time. It reminds me of those trainers. Do you remember trainers for video games? They made them specifically, I remember, for The Sims and for Roller Coaster Tycoon, probably other Sim games as well, where you would just run it. It was called a trainer. It was this little tiny EXE, and you would just select what you wanted, like unlimited money, unlimited this, no time, blah, blah, blah. You just select what you wanted, and when you started the game, it just activated that cheat, whatever you wanted.
I don't remember them being called a trainer, but I do remember something that was basically, it amounted to a mouse control type of thing, like a macro for Excel or any other video game.
Huh.
Except it would just be like, okay, well, if you have to constantly click here, then click here in a game, it would just do it for you. And I do remember using something like that for Roller Coaster Tycoon.
I love Roller Coaster Tycoon. My wife still plays it all the time, the originals.
Good. I'd be really upset if she stopped.
Yeah, I know. I keep telling her that. There was one Christmas I remember. I was a little kid, and they had just released the Lego stop motion box set. I don't know if you remember this. It was like early days of webcam, and it came with a little webcam that you plugged in USB into your old Windows, probably XP-ish era computer. And it came with a Lego set and software on a CD-ROM that you could install, and you could make Lego stop motion videos with the Legos and the software that they gave you.
I think that's what Christian was using in this story. I'm pretty sure that's what he was using.
I've never heard anybody else either know what I was talking about or remember this. And I remember specifically that Christmas being at dinner at Sizzler's with my parents. I was wearing this cute little Christmas sweater, and I was telling them everything I wanted for Christmas, but most of all, I wanted the Lego stop motion set. I never got it, but what I did get that year, I believe it was a GameCube?
Solid.
Or a Super Nintendo. One of those years I got, it was one of those. But very solid, much better present, to be honest.
Thick, solid, tight.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Remember that? There's like a guy who would go on the, I think it was like the bodybuilding.com forums.
Yeah.
And if you look at his profile, all he would do is just leave, like, they were very encouraging comments, but it was just very like, that's one way to spend your time is just like commenting on other people's physiques all day. Like, it was a lot.
Yes. There were some crazy, I guess you could call them gym rats of the discussion board for bodybuilding.com. Bodybuilding.com used to be a great resource. You could get all kinds of routines and workouts and stuff on there. And now it's garbage now.
It turned into 4chan, basically.
Yeah, it's garbage now. But it used to be a great place to go. I miss message boards a lot before Reddit. Reddit just completely ruined the whole message board thing because...
Reddit of today did, for sure. Once the companies all realized that it's all just another opportunity to market to people and control the narrative of whatever we're trying to sell or make us think. And as the story goes.
Well, to be a part of and find a discussion board back in the day, you had to really be into the thing, search for the thing, find the message board on the random website, sign up, and, you know, build a rapport, become a member of that discussion board. And everybody that was in that discussion was super fans of whatever you were a part of. Reddit is now so like homogenized. It's so centralized to the point to where everything's just getting pushed at you all at once, and people just follow subreddits and comment on stuff that they're not even part of the community. They're just an angry person that saw something and they wanted to comment and ruin somebody's day. I miss message boards a lot. I'm sorry I'm talking a lot this outro, but I have a lot to say. I'm a passionate boy today.
You can take it away all day, whatever you got to say, as it may. But yeah, no, I totally get that. Even like with Instagram, I find myself like on it a lot less, just because it's like the same thing. Like, cool, I get recommended whatever reel, and then you get that urge to read the comments, and it's like, where did these people come from? Why? What is going on here? Why am I part of this discussion as a bystander? Would I stop and listen to this conversation in the street or listen intently in real life? No. And I just really don't care. I don't find myself really enjoying anything that's online these days, but whatever. That's just another repeat talking point, but what isn't?
If any of the listeners happened to be a part of the Laughing Place discussion boards, you know what I'm talking about, back in the day, I'd love to connect with you through our Discord, or just let us know in an email or in the comments on Spotify. I'm curious if any of you listeners were a Laughing Place alumni, and I'll leave it at that.
I will say quickly, and I won't give any hints, but there are fragments online of a message board I used to frequent when I was like 11, 12, and 13 years old, that window, and there are still pictures of me and forum posts and like archived stuff, and I am so terrified that it's nothing like bad, it's nothing like cancel worthy, but like, no,
it's
like
just embarrassing.
Pictures of me, yeah, no, it's embarrassing, and like, hey, here's my dog, here's my backyard, and getting roasted, torn to shreds by these probably really cool teenagers who live in the basement when it was cool to live in a basement. It still is cool to live in a basement,
yeah,
but
basements rule.
Regardless, it's not like my shiniest moment on the internet, and it's there forever, and I still kind of check every so often to see if they've taken it down yet, and it's still there, and I don't want to like ping them to think like, oh hey, why is this guy googling this screen name? And I don't know, it is what it is. But yeah, happy hunting, people.
We'll find it. Well, no, actually they won't find it. I don't think they will find it.
I doubt it.
I don't think it's possible.
No, it's super obscure, but it is there if you know where to look. Well, I guess we didn't really fully analyze Christian's story as much as we had hoped, but hey, whatever. We acknowledged it.
That's what Odd Trails is about.
Exactly. Trailing off. I'm going to try to acknowledge this story by Scaredy Amelie about her grandmother. And I don't really have much to say, to be honest. I just think it's really interesting that all three of you dreamt about her. And then, of course, the cultural tie-in about it being the third day of a loved one to pass over, or whatever it was, something along the lines. And I hadn't heard of that. And I hadn't heard of that before, so that's...
I don't know what culture they're talking about. Did they specify in the story?
No, but I have a hunch it could be New Zealand. I don't know much more than that. I'm not going to pretend to, but that does... Something about that is... It's giving me New Zealand, as they would say. I just
threw up in my mouth a little bit.
I did not like that at all.
We're too old for that, dude. We're too old. So here's another one. Let us know. Give us some feedback if you know exactly what culture they were talking about. Maybe you'll win a prize. You'll get a shout out on the podcast at the very least.
Maybe a sticker when I finally get some more in the mail. I'm really sorry to anybody who I haven't sent one to.
Oh my God, thank you for reminding me. I have so many Let's Not Meet stickers to send out. I'm in trouble.
Yeah, it's a bad feeling. I still to this, actually, like right now, hold on, give me 1 second. Going through my drawer, it's because these ones aren't in the lower 48. Actually, I don't know if like Hawaii and Alaska require any like special postage.
I don't think so.
Well, I'm even worse then, but I have one. I have Morgan in Toronto and Carissa and Chilliwack, British Columbia. Really sorry to our Canadian friends up north. I'll try to do better. If you're still listening, let me know and I'll send it ASAP. But if you like fell off the face, then it's all good.
I think Canadian, you would need extra postage. Yeah,
probably
any province. Yeah. Okay, so let's move on to the Something Outside My Belief System by Shadow Moth. I have a lot to talk about here, but I'll try to breeze through it as quickly as possible. I don't want to bore everyone, but I do have to clarify a few things because this author just kind of threw out some names and references to things that I'm sure a lot of listeners are like, who's Matthew Brown? What does NHI stand for? You know, there's plenty of things. What's Hemisync? So I want to kind of break down the references rather than talk about the story, because the story is awesome. Great story. I don't really have a lot of thoughts on it personally, but I did do some reading up on the things that they referenced and talked about, and I kind of did the work for you guys. So first off, they reference an interview and a video with Matthew Brown, and I didn't know who this was. I guess this interview happened a few months back. Matthew Brown is a UFO whistleblower and is a former U.S. national security official. Do what you will with that information, but he said he's seen several videos of unidentified crafts. Now, he also referenced NHI. I had to look up what that was. I guess that means non-human intelligence. And he says that non-human intelligence apparently has been here for all recorded history.
I mean, are we counting animals? Because that's non-human. They're intelligent.
No. He's speaking of alien beings from different planets. They've been here with us, or even interdimensional. I don't know. This guy's all over the place. His interview was with George Knapp, who's with Coast to Coast. I think he still hosts every fourth Sunday or something like that. And then Jeremy Corbell is this new UFO guy that keeps popping up in the news. I think he was on the He Who Shall Not Be Named podcast, you know, the big one.
Oh, yeah, he's solid. He's one of the few UFO people who I feel is definitely credible and their heart's in the right place and aren't just trying to ride a wave.
I think the heart's in the right place, but I do think he's riding a wave super hard after this interview specifically and this stuff that he's doing with George Knapp.
Tell me more.
Anything I've seen him do with George Knapp is very sensationalized. Let's just say this interview is very interesting. You can look it up. Just search George Knapp, Jeremy Corbell, and Matthew Brown, and it'll come up immediately. But Matthew Brown is extremely nervous in this interview, like very, very nervous. It was making me nervous listening to him talk. And that's either a sign of, you know, telling the truth and being terrified, or possibly lying, or just being nervous being on camera. I don't know which of those it is. It's hard to tell. But, you know, when these former government officials risk their reputation and their life like this to, I guess, expose things and whistleblow, it is always compelling, right?
Yeah, I would say so, because obvious reasons. I got no. I'm just letting you talk, to be honest. Go for it.
That's fine. You know, that's totally fine. Where was I? Yeah, so he said aliens have been here for all of recorded history, and he says that we live in a dream, and guess what? He didn't elaborate on literally anything, except that he said it's like living in a matrix, but it's more boring. And he speaks with like this certainty that, you know, he's either confident in what he's saying, or he's just being pompous. I can't get a read on him, but something about him is just a little too wishy-washy. You know,
and where did he get this information? Like, where was his, what was his source of transmission that made him so confident in this?
This is what drives me crazy. He refers to everything as like a fact, but it's just coming off as like him spewing out ideas and theories and just saying things. He doesn't really explain what he means or back anything up with any sources. And neither Jeremy or George press him on anything or ask him for sources. They just take everything he says at heart. And he just keeps saying things. He just keeps saying things. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. That's why I don't watch the news, and that's why I don't listen to podcasts that I used to listen to, because for that same thing. Everything is just such like a vortex of, yeah, uh-huh, uh-huh. And I know we like tend to side with agreeing with all the stories and giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Sure.
But we're transparent about this, and we're not professionals. Uh-huh. We don't try to be. We're just two dudes hanging out, narrating, and nothing more than that.
Yeah.
When people try to cross the line of information presenting with entertainment and opinion, the waters get so muddy, and it's just like, okay, I'm kind of checking out for that exact reason. The confidence of stated opinion as if it's fact, I don't like it.
And a lot of the time when people do state those types of things in stories that we have on the podcast, it's coming from other beings or sources, and they're just relaying what they heard. You know what I mean? It's a different situation. This is like him saying, I know all of these things. I've seen these things exist. And it's like, well, tell us where, how, and when, you know what I mean? He even said, like, I'll quote him exactly. We are not free. God is real, and we are not allowed to leave. And you know, like, what do you mean? Elaborate on that. And he just wouldn't. And they didn't ask him any questions on those statements.
I will say, as soon as you said that, my mind immediately just thought like, okay, God is real. We can't leave. So I'm assuming that we're alive because of God. And if we kill ourselves or die of natural causes or whatever the case may be, we're going to come back in some way, shape, or form. That's kind of what I'm thinking. Like our souls might be just recycled over and over, and there's no true off switch. And that is kind of terrifying in some ways, but also maybe reassuring depending on where you end up after this life. But yeah, no, it's all pretty wild.
Well, if you're going by Shadow Moth's story that they sent to us, we're here to learn and grow. And a lot of near-death experiencers report that they have the choice to move on. You know, so it may not be that scary. Again, this guy, he doesn't back anything up. He doesn't elaborate. So I don't know.
Yeah, let's whoop his ass, loser.
Yeah, I get a sense that he just makes so many sensational claims, and they want to get as many as they can from him to make the interview go viral. And that's what I'm seeing in this interview. And I was really looking forward to it because it made like mainstream news. It was like a big deal. And I don't know. It's just, I have a little suspicious turd inside of me right now about this guy, and I'm not buying it. One other thing, just a couple of things they referenced in the story. They said something about John Dee and his talks of angels. So I had to look up who John Dee was. I guess he's this 15th century English mathematician. He's like an occultist, an alchemist. He has a long list of stuff. You can look him up on Wikipedia. He's definitely somebody I want to do a deep dive on, but that's the other person he referenced. And finally, he referenced Hemisync. That's something that you guys may not be familiar with. I've only talked about it a couple of times. Robert Monroe, the guy that wrote all those books that I talk about, he created that Hemisync thing, which is basically binaural beats. And his company, the Monroe Institute, they put out all these Hemisync tapes and CDs. And the one he referenced was called Going Deeper, and you can find it on Spotify. It's like 10 minutes. It's super short, but it's a good little meditation track to listen to. Hemisync's really cool. That's all I have to say about that. Sorry, I just had so many thoughts, and I did such a deep dive on this guy, Matthew, that I just kind of wanted to share my thoughts. Definitely check out the interview because it'll be worth it, because if for anything, it's entertainment. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. I live in Utah. There's a lot of interesting beliefs out here. Not pointing any fingers to anybody, but yeah. Trust me, bro. Lots of trust me, bro.
Well, I have to pee so bad, so I'm going to wrap this up right now.
All right, let's go pee.
If you guys got a story, make sure you send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Sign up for a Patreon at patreon.com/oddtrails. You'll get ad-free versions of all of our episodes and support the show. We love you guys. And make sure you check out the new episodes of my other podcasts like Let's Not Meet and the Old Time Radio Cast at crypticcountypodcasts.com. We'll see you guys next week, everybody. Stay safe.
Peace out.
house and the ghouls disturb you, darling.